All right. As we looked on last week, we began to, and I already passed and gave y'all a handout, and these are some things that we've been talking about, and instead of me talking about, there are six things, you already have it there in front of you. Began to look at verse 8 through 14. We looked at verse 8 and verse 9. And what we found out that we started out talking that there are two walks through life that are available to you and I. And we said that there is the light and the walk of darkness, and there is the light and the walk of light. And so we began to look at those six things. Six things from verse 8 through verse number 14 that we can learn about light. We looked at verse number 8 and we discovered that light is the nature of believers. For he says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And then we looked at verse number 9, and we seen that light bears the things of life, the fruit of the Spirit. He says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." And so tonight we look at verse number 10. And what we see in verse number 10 is that light shows what is acceptable. Light shows what is acceptable. Let's look at verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Well, what does this mean when he talks about this proving what is acceptable unto the Lord? Well, it carries the idea of testing. Are proving to learn by clear and convincing evidence what is truly honoring to God. And so the point is that as believers, as we walk in the light of the truth, the knowledge of the Lord will become clearer in our lives. So let's look at Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1 and 2, because Paul basically is saying the same thing when he's talking to the church there at Rome. And so he says in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies," now notice what he says, "a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable," there it is, "holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good," and there it is again, "and acceptable and perfect will of God." And so Paul, he states this. He says that it's only after presenting ourselves to God as a living sacrifice that we can know what his acceptable will is. And so everything that the believer does is to be unto the Lord. Everything that we do ought to be unto the Lord. And so that is, you are to set your attention. You ought to set your mind. You ought to set your energy upon pleasing God. Every day that you get up out of your bed, your mindset ought to be that I'm going to please God throughout the day. And so that ought to be our mindset. It's to be pleasing to God. And you just pray to God, "Lord, help me. Help me throughout this day to be pleasing, to be acceptable unto you." And so not only is that, not only do we give our energy, not only we give our all into pleasing the Lord, but we are to strive to will and do the pleasures of the Lord. And so what you have to do is, it's a struggle. It's a struggle each and every day to try to bring your will under control of His will. And so because it's a struggle, because guess what? We are battling the flesh and the spirit. Every day is a battle. Every day you get up, it's going to be a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh wants to do one way. The spirit wants you to do the right way. And so at the end of the day, and throughout the day, you make a list. At the end of the day, you say to yourself, who did I let win today? Did I let the flesh win? Or do I let the spirit win? And so each day you ought to be striving to allow the spirit, the Lord, to be in control of your life. And so, well, why is that? Why do I need to do that? Well, the reason I do that, the reason I try to be pleasing to God, is because the Lord loved and He gave Himself for us. He didn't have to do it, but we ought to thank God that He did. And so since He did that, since He loved us, since He gave Himself for us, we ought to be striving every day to be pleasing and acceptable unto Him. And so since the Lord gave Himself for us, then what do we need to do? Then we are to love and we ought to give ourselves to the Lord. That's what we have to do. And so we see then that he says in verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And so what have we seen so far? We've seen that light is the nature of the believer. Verse 8, we have seen that light bears the things of life, the fruit of the Spirit. In verse number 9, we've seen light shows what is acceptable in verse 10. And then when we look at verse 11 and verse 12, light exposes the work of darkness. Let's look at it. In verse 11, he says, after he have said, prove what is acceptable unto the Lord, he now said, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So what is he beginning to talk about? He first of all said, listen, have no fellowship. Have no fellowship with darkness. And so what we see here is that Paul's instruction is plain. It's direct. And so Christians are to be faithfully doing what? Living in righteousness and purity and have nothing at all to do with the evil ways and the works of Satan. And so we have to understand that. So there are two ways that we look at this. There are two ways, because we got to understand, if you're not living according to what God wants you to do, if you're not living according to His will, guess what you're living? You're living the opposite. And so we need to be living as Christians. We are the light. So as the light, how should we be living? We should be living just like the light, because He is the light. And so we see that. So when he talks about with the unfruitful works of darkness, what he is saying, he is talking about those works that are covered in verse 3 through verse 6. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about those works that we have already talked about in verse 3 through verse 6. But also, we can add the works of the flesh. We can add Galatians. When you go look at Galatians 5 and verse 19 through 21, you add those things. Because guess what? All of these things, they lead to death. They lead to death. We ought not have no part in these things. And so he says now, but look what he says. Go back. In verse 11, he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But what do? He said, but rather reprove them. In other words, when you look at the word reprove, it means expose. The word reprove means expose. And so our duty is to express here in two ways. There is the negative way, and there is the positive way. Where in the negative way, he is not to have and fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That is not to indulge in the sins of the unsaved. All right? But positively, he is to expose, he is to reprove those sins. That is, bring them to light and show them for what they are really are. They are sins. And we are not to have no part in those things. And so not only show them, but also we need to help them to understand there are consequences for doing evil. There are consequences for living in sin. And so we need to reprove them and let them know, expose them. This is not the way the Lord will have us to live, have us to be. But in order to help them to see that, you got to be living the kind of life to be an example to them. To show them the life that you need, that you live with Christ. You have to be that light. You remember we talked about that? You are light that sit on a hill that cannot be hid. That you what? Let your light so what? Shine so that others can see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's not that you let it shine to get a pat on the back. No. It's to point them to Jesus Christ. It's to show them the error in their ways. And so to ignore evil is to encourage it. To ignore it is to encourage it. To keep quiet about it is to help promote it. And so we have to understand we are to confront sin with intolerance. And so when those around us, when they see us helping rather than exploiting, when they hear us talking with purity instead of profanity, and they observe us speaking truthfully rather than deceitfully, do you not know that carries a lot of weight? When they see how we conduct ourselves, listen, I'm not going to have any part in that. And that's what we need to be as Christians. And so by doing that lets them know that, hey, listen, I'm not going to be used as a trash can for you to dump things that is not encouraging, that is not uplifting to somebody. I'm not the one. And we have to make that stand. I'm not the one. You're not. Don't come to me with all of this. But we help them. If they do, then what we need to do? Help them to see the light. Help them to see. Man, we need to be about encouraging one another. We need to be about uplifting one another. See, that's so much evil in our world today. I mean, every time you turn around, man, just today, you know, want to listen and see what the weather gonna be like. But guess what? Before you get to the weather, you hear all of this negative stuff. Man, time to get to the weather, man, you'd be so frustrated listening to all of this, you know. Why don't they put something positive first you know, this is what, you know, this is what has been achieved. This is what's happening. No, no, it's all about negative. And so we hear a lot of that in the world. But what we need to find when we come into the Lord's house is some encouragement. It's some lifting up. It's some building up, because what? We have been torn down through the week. And it's encouraging this to come, man, to get some refreshing encouragement. To let you know, man, everything is going to be all right. Man, your day might have been bad, you know, a few days ago, but guess what? It's going to be all right. And that's what we need. And so that's what Paul said. Listen, you reprove them, you expose them, you let them know these things, because the works of those dwelling in darkness doesn't produce anything. It's not profitable in any way. And so to fellowship with someone, it means you are partakers, you are partners. With them. You are partakers with them. And so Paul, he gives a strong warning. After he has said that in verse 11, he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Then he said, listen, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And so what he does is he tells the Christian why they must expose sins of the lost. And so he explained that because it's shame to even speak. There are some sins that are so despicable that they should be sealed off from direct contact or even mentioned, much less discussed. But understand this, that if you are listening to it, then accept, you listen to it if you're going to make a correction, if you're going to help them to correct that behavior. Now, if you're just going to listen to it just to be listening to it and laugh and carry on, then listen, no, no, no. You help them, no, this is not the way that God expects us to live. That God expects us to do. And so that's our job. We are there to help them, to contradict and oppose them, help them to see this is not good. This is not helpful. This is not Christ-like. We got to help them to see that. And so that's what that's what he is talking about. When he says, you know, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather you correct them. You help them to see what's good. Help them to see that this only brings about destruction. And we are not about destroying. We are about building up. We are about encouraging one another. And so he talks about that. Look at Proverbs 6:23. Proverbs 6:23. In Proverbs 6 and verse 23 says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs. Instructions are the way of life. That's what we need to have. Listen. We got to understand. The command is that we are light. We are light. And you are darkness, but I want you not to live in darkness, but I want you to come to the light. Because when you do that, this is the way of life. This is the way that God would have us to say, listen, when these ought to be teaching moments. When we are confronted, they ought to be teaching moments to help people to see the good way. See Jesus as the light of the world. And so what have we seen so far? We have seen that light is the nature of believers. We have seen that light bears the things of life, the fruit of the Spirit. We see that light shows what is acceptable. We've seen light exposes the works of darkness. But then we see in verse 13. In verse 13, we see that light reveals and converts everything it touches. Look at verse 13. For in verse 13, he says, "But all things are reproved, are exposed, are made manifest by what? The light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is what? Light." Y'all see that? It's light. So when light touches something, it becomes light. When light touches something, it becomes light. When the light of the Lord Jesus shines on everything, it suddenly reveals what it really is. Because what is the light going to do? It's going to bring it. It's going to show. And so the light is so bright that it reveals everything that is good and everything that is bad. Light shows, it reveals everything. And so, you know why? Because, see, people love darkness. But when that light come on, when it exposed them, and that's what light does. And so we have to understand the light is a revealer. We understand that. And most sins is done where? In darkness. Right? In darkness. You know, there used to be a time that seemed like all the crime and stuff were done in the dark. But it's not like that now. People in broad daylight. But guess what? Even in broad daylight, it still reveals. And so we have to understand, when light touches something, it becomes light. So the light exposes everything. It cannot stay hidden when the light shines on it. It's just like here. If I was just sitting right here, all the lights out, you probably couldn't see me. Well, let me see. Yeah, you probably couldn't see me, right? But when that light comes on, I might be hiding, but guess what? If you're checking everything, you'll be able to find me. Because what light does, it reveals. Light reveals. And so when the light of Jesus touches the life of a person in darkness, then understand that life is changed. When God touches, when that light of Jesus touches, it changes darkness and it becomes light. It becomes light. And so guess what? So since we are light, and we walk across somebody that's in darkness, what do we need to do? We need to put the light on them to show them the way that they need to be living. Help them to see that Jesus is the light. Jesus is the answer. And what happens is, eventually, we don't know. They become light. Why? Because they have got attached. They saw you as the light. And so that's why we have to be that light. Light is that which makes things manifest. That which shows them to be as they actually are. And so what do we see? We see light. It reveals, it converts everything that it touches. But then in verse 14, light awakens the sleeping. Let's see what why he says that. Wherefore, he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. Now, when you look at this text is one that is quoted. It's a quotation from Isaiah 60 and verse 1. This is a quotation from Isaiah 60 and verse 1. And so when we look at this text, what Paul is doing here is that Paul is extending an invitation for salvation to the unsaved, those that are walking in darkness, in order that they may be transformed into light. That's why on Sundays, that's why even on Wednesdays, we have the invitation. The invitation is extended for those that that not only just need prayer, but it's extended for those who are unsaved, to give them an opportunity to be transformed into what? The light. All right? To be transformed from the children of darkness into the children of light. And so we understand that. So sin, since exposing sin is beneficial, then God invites the unbeliever, and what that is, when he talks about the unbeliever, that's when he said, thou that sleepest. When you look at that quote, thou that sleepest, he's talking to the unbelievers. Thou that sleepest, to turn from his sin. In other words, they are to arise from the dead. All right? They are to turn from the darkness. They are to arise from the turn from their sins, and with the promise that he will be granted the spiritual enlightenment and help that's needed. That's why he says, Christ shall give thee light. So when you look at this, again, he says, wherefore awake thou that sleepest. Again, there are those, he's talking about the unbeliever, those that are sleeping. He tells them that you turn from your sin. In other words, you arise from the dead. And then with the promise of what he is saying, he says, when you do that, when you turn from darkness, what he'll do is Christ will give you light. That's an invitation. Verse 14 is an invitation to those who are walking in darkness. That if you're walking, you turn, you arise from that. Turn to God. God will give you light. So if you look at verse 14, ready? Verse 14 is an invitation. All right? An invitation. All right? So those living in sin are for all good purposes dead. If you're living in sin, you are dead. You are dead. But when you receive the light, you receive life. All right? When you turn to light, when you receive light, then you must let the light shine brightly for who to see? The world to see. So when you turn back, when you turn to that light, and if you're a child of God, you are the light, and you are to let the world see you are the light. You are the true light. You are the light that shines from the light. God and Jesus is the light. They're the light of the world. And so we need to understand that. And so next week we'll be looking at verse 15 through verse 21. And when you look at that, there are five things that we're going to be seeing from verse 15 through 21 that tells us things we need to be doing from verse 15 through verse 21. And we're going to be looking at it, looking around, and watching every step. This is verse 15. Verse 16, redeeming the time. We're going to be looking at that because too many times we waste time. We need to be redeeming the time while we have it. We need to be making use of the time while we have time upon this earth. So we'll be looking at that. In verse 17, we'll be understanding the Lord's will. And then verse 18 is divided. The first part of verse 18, it deals with rejecting drunkenness. And we're going to be looking at what Paul is talking about when he talks about this drunkenness. And then the latter part of 18 goes along with verse 20 through 21, and that is being filled with the Spirit. How do you be filled with Spirit? So we're going to be looking at all of that in our next segment, verse 15 through verse number 21. And then we'll end up with verse 22 and 23. All this dealing with is two things that we see, and that is it dealing with the wife and the husband. The wife is to walk in submission, verse 22 through 24. And then we'll see that the husband is to love his wife. And we'll see that in the remaining of the verses. So that's what we're looking at for the remaining of the time. So you go back and you look at all of these verses, and with these things that we've talked about, outlined, we've talked about in mind, and go back and see that you see those things that we've been talking about. So again, we just want to thank you for listening, and those that are on our conference call, we want to again thank you for listening.